Good morning, Cowboys Nation, and welcome to another episode of the Writer's Block Podcast, the first episode of 2025 and the first episode of the offseason. Thankfully, we have put the Dallas Cowboys 2024 regular season behind us, and we will not have any more Cowboys for the foreseeable future because, as the Cowboys learned a few weeks ago, they did not make the postseason. They weren't even really all that close. I'm your host, David Howman. Talking the Cowboys today, joined by my co-host, Brandon Clements. Brandon, how are you doing? Last time we talked on here, we talked about our New Year's resolutions. How was your new year? Have you given up on any of your resolutions yet, like the rest of us?
I mean, look at the gyms. I mean, the gyms are like, you know, packed for the first like 3 weeks of the year. And then like, if you look at a snapshot of that same gym, you go in like December, there's nobody there. So yeah, I'm kind of falling off that, but I got what I wanted, Trey Lance. I got some run from Trey Lance. So that was, I was happy about that. Ryan Flournoy, the receiver room, I know I talked about last week. You know, I liked what I saw from some players. I mean, we'll see how things proceed, I guess, going into it. Yeah, I mean, overall, it's been an interesting stretch because it's like the Cowboys season is done. And for me personally, like, I love the NFL playoffs, and I'm so used to the Cowboys either not being in the playoffs or they choke in the playoffs. So I'm just enjoying it just from a pure football fan perspective. And then I'm also getting ready, and it's never too early for this, but I'm getting ready for draft season, which is, it's coming around the corner before you know it. So I'm already burning the midnight oil, looking at a lot of clips, highlights of different talented players that, you know, I know there's a couple running backs that we both like. I've been watching some of that, watching some defensive tackle. I mean, I change gears. It's like, all right, Cowboys season's over. You know, from a Cowboys perspective, it's like, all right, let's get into draft season because I love it. College football playoffs have been interesting. I don't want to rub it in or any salt, any wounds or anything. But that was quite an interesting Texas Arizona State game, which I'm sure you're going to talk about. and you know what? It was boring like two quarters, three quarters. If I remember correctly, because I was kind of going back and forth because I was at a family member's house for we were having a get together. So I the game was kind of weird for a bit, and then like I just like I heard my dad make he's the degenerate, so he likes to gamble. So I heard him like talking about it, and I'm like, oh, I guess the game's back on being interesting. And I saw one play was Cam Scandaboo, your guy, throwing a dart. You know, I mean, he's doing everything on that field, and obviously, yeah, and you know,
on that note, I want to give myself a shout out because last week we were talking about Cam Scandaboo, as we often do, and as we will in as we go into draft season and talk about Cam Scandaboo, because I mean, I already thought he was gonna, you know, be a end of the day two, beginning of day three draft pick kind of guy, and then he had that performance in the Peach Bowl against Texas. He's going to get talked about a lot, not just by us, but by all draft people over the next few months. But last week when we were talking about it, you mentioned Kyle McCord and being a Heisman, one of the Heisman vote getters. And I even mentioned, I was like, hey, Cam Scandaboo's got an arm too. He's thrown the ball in the past. And wouldn't you know it, in that Peach Bowl, he throws a 42-yard dart, touchdown pass. And that was really what kind of spurred their comeback effort. Of course, for those who didn't watch the Peach Bowl, Arizona State, the greatest team in college football, they took Texas. They were the biggest underdog of any of these teams this past college football playoff weekend. Nobody had a larger point spread than Texas. And ASU took them to two overtimes. There was a very controversial targeting no call that didn't go Arizona State's way that could have shaped the game a lot. ASU also made a lot of blunders on special teams that hurt their chances. They gave up a like 75-yard punt return touchdown, had a field goal that was blocked, a few miscues here and there, but Cam Scandaboo had himself a game. He won the Peach Bowl MVP despite ASU losing, so that's how you know he's good. So if any of you thought that you weren't going to hear me talk about Cam Scandaboo with Arizona State season over, you're wrong. We will be talking about the draft going forward, and we will be talking about Cam Scandaboo because a lot of Cowboys fans want him after that game.
Well, yeah, our good friend over at Blogging the Boys, RJ Ochoa, is a big Arizona State guy too. So I know
He has
I like
good
to bug.
taste.
He's got interesting taste. You both do.
He has good taste. I
I
can't
will tell
vouch
you
for all
though.
of the things he likes, but when it comes to college football teams, he's got very good taste.
Well, I will tell you, speaking of good taste, Syracuse University also has a really tremendous running back. I don't, LaQuint Allen also declared for the NFL draft, not getting as much fanfare, which is very sad because he's actually on the same level stat-wise as Scatabu. Him and Scatabu are one of two, they're the only two players, I believe it was like 1,000 yards rushing and 500 yards receiving, I believe. I don't have the stat in front of me, but I remember seeing it and I thought of you, and I think, I don't know if I tagged it or not, but yeah, we got two talented running backs here, and I'd be very happy to see any running back at this point, be the backup for Rico Dowdle. At this stage of the game, I Rico Dowdle to me, I think if we don't price out on him, I think he's back. But I do think the Cowboys are going to spend. I know you don't want to spend pick 12, kind of rich on the Ashton Gentry train. I know that, but. I'm not. I wouldn't be surprised day two that the boys take a running back, but that's for another day. But I just had to throw that in there because as a Syracuse guy, I can't forget about my guy LaQuint Allen declaring for the draft as of recording, which this could change the next when this comes out in the morning. Here's the thing, Kyle McCord is trending in a positive direction that he could come back. So I'm hoping and praying for that because if Kyle McCord is back in the saddle. Sorry, Arizona State, but the Heisman's coming to Syracuse, baby.
Well, you heard it here first, folks. And you also heard Brandon mention the Cowboys picking 12th, which, of course, we know after the season ended, the Cowboys fell to the Commanders 23-19, which I wish that I was tech savvy enough to get like a video clip mashup of the scene from Monsters, Inc. 23-19. We have a 23-19. Did that land with you? Have you seen Monsters, Inc.? I know you're not always hip with the times.
A long time ago.
Okay.
I can the most recent relation I have to Monsters, Inc. I don't even know if it's still there, but I remember when I went to Disney, it was they had like the Monsters, Inc. ride or something there. I think that's about as far as I can remember. Wasn't there like a Mike Wazowski or something in it?
Yeah, Mike Wazowski.
Yeah. See, I vaguely remember this.
Yeah. Well, okay.
I
My reference would have killed it if you'd seen it recently.
Yeah, it's been a long
So
time.
our listeners, I'm sure, are cackling and laughing out loud.
Probably
It was a
laughing at
great
me because they're
pull.
like, you
Just
don't get the reference. They're probably laughing at me for that. So
yeah, I'm gonna laugh at you as soon as we're done recording. So,
perfect. I'm used
but
to it.
as for the Cowboys, people weren't laughing at them for most of this game. They honestly, this is, the game didn't mean anything, had zero value for the Cowboys, had a lot of value for the Commanders because they needed to win in order to get the sixth seed instead of the Packers. Obviously, they did that. Cowboys kind of dominated the first half, at least defensively. Jaden Daniels could not do a single thing, and it was so bad that Dan Quinn actually decided, hey, we're going to pull Jaden in the second half. Marcus Mariota is going to be the guy. We don't want to, we're still trying to win, and obviously they did, but we don't want to risk our quarterback getting hurt right before the playoffs.
Yeah.
Kind of a risky move. As it turned out, the Packers ended up losing to the Bears on a last second field goal anyway, so it wouldn't have mattered even if the Cowboys won this game. So ultimately, this game meant absolutely nothing for either team in the end, when all was said and done.
Yeah.
But the Cowboys lost anyway. But the defense played well. Offense with Trey Lance, like you mentioned, he got in there, he got to play, had some moments, some good moments, some bad moments.
Yeah, he's a raw player. He hasn't played a
He
lot.
looked exactly the way that he did when he got drafted, which is this is a guy that's extremely raw, needs to work on a lot of mechanics, a lot of fine tuning. There was one play where on that fourth down, it was fourth and goal, and the Cowboys go for it right before halftime. That play was like the microcosm of Trey Lance as a player because he gets the ball like he doesn't see the blitzer off the edge, which that's been an issue for him is pre-snap recognition. But then his athleticism, his speed, he's able to dodge two different guys, rolls out to the side, shifts the coverage, and Rico Dowdle comes wide open in the end zone. And it's like, oh, we've got a guy. Like, he used his legs, he created a play, and then he just dirts it. Like, we know he's got a cannon. He doesn't have a whole lot of touch. There were some of these throws, and there were also some throws that were, I mean, they looked beautiful. And when he really sets his feet and throws with a good base, he looks great, but he doesn't do it every single time.
Yeah, it's not consistent. He short-armed it. He short-armed that pass to Rico. It was if you looked at Trey when he threw it, you could just tell from the body language. As soon as he released it, I knew it wasn't going to be a catch because it just, you could tell it just came out awkwardly, and I'm like, it's a guy who hasn't played a lot of football in a few years, and you know what? It was good for him to get this exposure. You know, I'm kind of curious to see. You know, obviously, you know, he could re-sign with the Cowboys. He might not be back with the Cowboys. I mean, there's also Cooper Rush could also leave for the Cowboys leave the Cowboys and go somewhere else. There's a lot of things that could happen here, and I felt like the and Jerry Jones, take it as you will. Jerry Jones, the used car salesman, as I call him. He did speak, you know, nicely of Trey Lance, but you know how he is. He always likes to just kind of, he always tries to sell you something when he's talking to you. So that's Jerry Jones. But to be honest, though, I don't think this harmed him in any way. I felt like it helped him because you could see the flashes of potential with Trey Lance because he did make some really good plays. And even on that fourth and goal where, you know, he broke out of the pocket, you know, he misread the edge. That happens. He still was so good and so athletic to make the play to get out of it, which that tells me that, you know, he's got plenty of capabilities as an athletic quarterback. He just has to refine his technique. His technique's a little funky. There was this one throw. I want to say it was Turpin. I think it was the Turpin. His feet were completely off the ground. Like he float. Like I'm like, you could stick like a 2x4 underneath him because he was like that far off the ground. I'm like, and it sailed. It was over. And I'm like, Trey, put your feet on the ground. You have a big arm. You got like when he sits there and he sits in the pocket because he delivered a beautiful ball to Jalen Tolbert right across the middle. That was a beautiful like that pocket was perfect. He had his feet set. His base was great. He let that thing go. He hit Jalen perfect, and Jalen made a nice play on it. Like those are some plays. I'm like, all right, there's something here. But when you're throwing, and it's like, you have nothing on the ground. You're just throwing it in the air. I'm like, only Patrick Mahomes and a few others like Josh Allen can get away with that. Not you, Trey. You got to stop doing that.
Yeah, I mean, it was that's been my biggest issue with like the Trey Lance hype team, such as yourself.
I love Trey.
Is that, I mean, he's been in the league for 4 years now, and granted, he hasn't played a whole lot, but there's also, I mean, there's a reason he hasn't played a whole lot. Like the 49ers banked on him being their starter after his rookie year. And, you know, they saw 6 or 7 games before he got hurt. And that was enough for them to decide we'd rather roll the dice with Brock Purdy. You know, and now here he is 2 years later and he's playing and he's still, you know, he doesn't look like any better. It's not like his footwork hasn't gotten better. His throwing mechanics haven't gotten better. His pre-snap stuff hasn't gotten better. He's still got, you know, raw physical tools. Awesome. But this guy's going to be 25 at the start of next season. I'm just not sure, like, how does any team bring him in as like a project as a developmental guy at 25 versus, you know, drafting one of these guys on day 3 of the draft that they think has good tools that they can develop, that they can work with as a, you know, potential, you know, successor for one of these older quarterbacks. So, I mean, but again, this was a one game sample size, which is why I said last week, I don't think this isn't going to change the conversation, the narrative around Trey Lance one way or the other. It was kind of fun to see some film from him, but also at the same time as I'm watching, I mean, the Cowboys, they were 1 of 6 on red zone trips in this game. If they score touchdowns on, you know, even one more of those, given how the final score played out, but I mean, there was, if he hits Dowdle on that fourth and goal touchdown pass, I mean, if they score a couple more times in the red zone, I mean, the Cowboys should have blown the Commanders out in the first half. They should have had to, you know, sign, sealed, and delivered in the first half before they even pulled Jaden Daniels.
But they didn't.
And they didn't. And I'm not going to, you know, pretend like Trey Lance was the sole problem in this game in the red zone, but
yeah,
he was part of it. He was definitely a big part of it. There were a lot of missed opportunities. And, you know, I watched this game and I was like, yeah, that's why Trey Lance wasn't playing before now is, you know, until a couple of weeks ago, they were still playing to win the game. And Cooper Rush clearly, very clearly gave them the better opportunity. So, you know, to me, that kind of settles that decision. I think that reflects a good understanding from Mike McCarthy as to like what they were trying to accomplish versus what they were trying to accomplish going into this game, which of course brings us to the big question now that this season is over is all there's left to do to talk about now is Mike McCarthy. Of course, his contract expires this upcoming Tuesday. So they still have some time. They've got, with this coming out Wednesday morning, just under a week now. Reports have indicated that the Cowboys don't feel any sense of urgency to make a decision on Mike McCarthy.
Shocker.
Which, you know, if that isn't surprising because realistically the sense of urgency would have been to make a decision this time last year and not have your coach go into the final year of his contract, which is a thing only the Dallas Cowboys do.
Yep.
That said, on Monday, the Chicago Bears, who were hiring, they put in a request to interview Mike McCarthy. And essentially, when that happened, everyone said, like, the Cowboys can either grant permission or they can decline permission. If they still have not made a decision on Mike McCarthy by the 14th when his contract expires, McCarthy doesn't even need permission. He can go interview with the Bears if he feels like it.
Yeah.
Just a few minutes before we started recording this Tuesday night, Adam Schefter tweeted out that the Cowboys did officially decline that request to interview him. So kind of feels like that's a sign that they know they want to keep Mike McCarthy and that they just haven't put pen to paper because timeline wise that, you know, there's other things to do before then. We know Mike McCarthy was in the building Monday and Tuesday doing exit interviews with players and things like that. But I mean, how bad of a look would that be if they denied the Bears' request to interview him and then decide, oh, we're going to let you go anyway, a week later after the Bears and other teams have interviewed all their other candidates?
I think it's just bad faith. That's the first thing. But at the same time, again, this is the Dallas Cowboys. They operate at a different level than a lot of the other teams in the league. It goes under my shocked but not shocked category because anything's possible with Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys. And it would be a disservice to Mike McCarthy. And yes, I've been critical of Mike McCarthy. I know I've come to the dark side, so to speak, over the last few weeks. And you know what? And it rightfully so. I mean, 7-10, yeah, great. You know, it's not a great season. We get that. But considering the hand he's been dealt, the players love him. They've all come out and publicly, you know, endorsed him to come back. And they're not just, you know, practice squad guys. These are the faces of the franchise that want him back. And last time I checked, you want your franchise, faces of the franchise happy. So I think they got to get pen to paper. I think it, you know, we've talked about it before. They're going to probably do like something like a 4 or 5 year deal. And then if, you know, say year or two down the line here, it's just not working out, then you get rid of McCarthy at that point. I think I think that's the direction. I think it's more so not if the deal gets done, it's more when the deal gets done and what are the terms? Because that's what I'm kind of curious about, like see what they're going to do. So, and then the next step is we got to retain Al Harris because Al Harris is going to be a hot commodity on the market. So I'd like to keep him in house. And then Zim, I think Zim's obviously, I mean, we've talked about it already. You know, Zim's been, it's taken some time and there was also some injuries, but this defense is clicking. And I think another go round with those guys and, you know, the coaching staff, bringing everybody back or bringing back as many of them as you can, I think is a good thing. And God forbid, you know, say Zim's not there. I think the Bengals just let go of Lou Anarumo. And I think, last time I checked, he's still a pretty decent defensive mind. So, you know, you could kick the tires on that. But I think option A is definitely, you know, getting Zim back. Obviously, Mike McCarthy, you kind of bring them both together and or keep them in-house. And we build off of you know, I wouldn't say it was a lost season. I feel like we're going to look back at this season, you know, maybe a year or two down the line and say it was good because Marist Liefau, he's developed. I think he's going to be an all pro. I think you tweeted it or, you know, one of our other great friends out there. I skimmed through things and I did see Marist Liefau, and I agree, you know, whoever put it out there, whether it was you or somebody else, he's all pro to me. I think the Cowboys hit on that in the third round. You know, there's other players out there. You know, for me, I feel like if they draft halfway decent again, which if you look at the numbers, and I get you can take the Pro Bowl for however you want. The Cowboys, I believe over the last 10 years, are the second – they've hit the second most behind the Detroit Lions on the percentage of players they've drafted that have been in the Pro Bowl. And I know the Detroit Lions, obviously 14-2, going into that big game they just had. They're a monster. I mean, the Cowboys know how to draft. So the point is, these draft picks got some work in. Nealon's looking good. I think he flashed. You know, obviously we're probably not gonna have Overshow next year, which is unfortunate. I mean, I don't want to rush him back anyways. Let's let him get healed up, and then let's get Diggs ready. Have Bland. Maybe Jordan Lewis is back. I mean, we bring back some of the guys that have been here with the young guys that had just got here this past year. Bring some new picks in. Get me a running back. Get me a defensive tackle. Maybe an offensive lineman, and we'll be ready to roll.
Yeah, I agree with you that I think this is we're going to look back on this season as one that was good for the culture. Which I hate just like saying that because that's such a nebulous term. But
it's true.
On top of all the things you said, we also saw CeeDee Lamb blossom as a player. I mean. Yeah. On the intangible side, like the toughness to fight through that shoulder injury the way that he did, I think that's huge. We even saw like Jalen Tolbert around the same time, like he had to get stitches in his hand and he kept out coming out playing. And see CeeDee Lamb set the example and Jalen Tolbert followed. Micah Parsons stepped up in a big way as one of the leaders of this defense, which was needed when DeMarcus Lawrence went down. And he really when he came back in week 10, he got on the same page with Mike Zimmer. From week 10 on, statistically, in most categories, Cowboys were a top 10 defense. If they weren't top 10, they were like right outside of the top 10. I mean, these things it fell into place with the defense. And I wrote an article about this on Blogging the Boys that you can go read. One thing important for making the case to keep Mike Zimmer. Is Jaden Daniels, he's had a phenomenal year. If he doesn't win Offensive Rookie of the Year, you got to get those voters drug tested because he's far and away not only been the best, objectively the best rookie quarterback, but some of his numbers are like in the top five among all quarterbacks this year. Like he has been, he's been a genuinely great quarterback this year. And
I got to cut you off. I'm going to pat myself on the back on that one because he was my number one rated quarterback this past year in the class. So
I loved him in the draft too. Like you and me were both in love with him. Chris Holling was the one who did not like him and said he was the worst one of the top three. But he's not here to fend for himself. So we won't linger on that, but Jaden Daniels, I think he's a star. He's the face of the franchise. He's the future for the Washington Commanders. He's going to be a problem. And for the Cowboys to stand a chance in the NFC East going forward, they got to be able to stop Jaden Daniels. Well, if you look at his worst games statistically, three of his worst games this year were two of them were against the Cowboys. And granted, this last one he only played a half, so there's sample size issues there. But that's six quarters of football against Mike Zimmer, and all six quarters were bad. I mean, that's pretty impressive. And by the way, the other game I mentioned his three worst, the other game that was in between there as his worst was against the Steelers. We know they got a great defense. They got somebody by the name of TJ Watt, who's pretty darn good.
Yeah, he's decent.
So I think like what we saw from Mike Zimmer, if you want to continue to compete in this division, you got to have an answer for Jaden Daniels. Mike Zimmer both times has had an answer for Jaden Daniels. And to your point, if Zimmer decides, because he's not a spring chicken. If he decides he wants to hang it up and retire, You mentioned Lou Anarumo from Cincinnati. I think he's a great defensive mind, but I think for sake of keeping continuity in the scheme, Cowboys already have somebody on staff in Paul Gunther, who has been a Mike Zimmer disciple for a very long time. In fact, when Zimmer left the Bengals to take the Vikings head coaching job, Gunther was promoted to defensive coordinator and did a very good job keeping that Bengals defense playing up to par. So I think if they're going with continuity, it's, you know, Mike Zimmer's coming back, or if he decides not to, or slash when he decides not to, I think Paul Gunther's the guy that they brought in to ascend to that role and keep that continuity, because I think they really have something with this scheme. But again, this all hinges on Mike McCarthy coming back. Because it would be kind of not unheard of, but it would be kind of surprising if a new head coach comes in and decides to keep Mike Zimmer. Mike Zimmer might not even want to stick around for whoever a new head coach ends up being. But even now, as the Cowboys are dragging their feet a little bit with their decision on McCarthy, other teams are, you know, putting in interview requests right now this week with the teams who have coaches that are being requested that are on buys. They have a chance to interview right now. So these other teams, there's six other teams right now that have openings, and we're going to talk about them in just a little bit, but these other teams are already getting started, getting into the process. If the Cowboys go through, you know, next week and let McCarthy's contract expire and say, yeah, we're not bringing him back, we're going to hire somebody, I mean, you burned up a week and a half at that point of interview time, and all these other teams have gotten a jump on you. I don't see how, you know, at this point, I feel like they've, you know, assuming that they haven't made up their mind, which I think they probably have already made up their mind, and that's why they're taking it the way that they're doing it. But assuming they haven't, at this point, I think they've backed themselves into a corner where they have to bring Mike McCarthy back.
Yeah, no, 100%. I couldn't agree more with that. I mean, not only have they backed themselves in a corner, but I think they've already just kind of just, you know, tipped their hand. Let's be honest. I think, you know, if you're going to deny a request for another organization to interview the guy that you have under contract currently at this stage of the game, that tells me that you're working on something behind the scenes and you just haven't told anybody yet. Like, or, you know, maybe they're in the early conversations, which, I mean, that's kind of crazy to think that it could be early conversations because there's like a week left. But, you know,
that's early for the Cowboys.
Yeah, I mean, like CeeDee Lamb was like showing up like you know, almost like 48 hours before, Dak was like 48 hours before the game, like he got his new contract.
It was the day of.
That's the Cowboys, though. They do it so last minute. But I will say this, you know, it just, you know, for me personally, like as somebody who, again, not the biggest Mike McCarthy guy, I think you bring him back. I think they do a 5-year deal. I think they do a 5-year deal and they'll pay him pretty well. And, you know, we'll kind of roll out from there. It'll be great to have Dak back in the saddle, you know, healthy next year. So I know obviously he's been staying well hydrated in the booth, you know, various concoctions over the last few weeks. I think we had some sweet tea this past week. We've had Red Bulls, waters.
I really hope that he has a sponsorship deal with Pure Leaf because that display he had of all the teas in front of him, that was immaculate.
Yeah, I mean, he might be working that with like Red Bull too, because he had some Red Bull cans too in previous games. So, I mean, good for Dak. I mean, it's not like he needs the money, but hey, get yourself out there while you can. And you know what? And I feel like he, in a way, I think he knows that he knows these things. Like he knows, like he's been on camera for this. So you don't think he's playing that a little bit as well? I think that, you know, Dak's funny like that. Like he has a sense of humor about it, where he's like, I'm just gonna troll these folks, and I'm just gonna put whatever I feel like drinking that day, I'm just going to put them in a specific way. And like, I'll like drink one, move on to the next one. It's like, but he's staying hydrated. So, I mean, that's it. Goes to Dak Prescott. So
got to stay hydrated.
You have to.
I think it's worth pointing out though, when we talk about Mike McCarthy and his contract, around this time last year, he changed agents. He brought in Don Yee to be his agent. Don Yee is known as kind of a coaching super agent. He also represents, I believe, Sean Payton, or maybe at one point he represented Sean Payton, got him a really, really nice deal with the Broncos. Also represents Jim Harbaugh, who got a very, very rich deal with the Chargers. And so I think, you know, at this point, McCarthy has a lot of leverage. That might be part of the conversation is, you know, McCarthy's saying like, hey, like, you got to pay me or you got to give me more influence or both, which I think is fair too, because Jane Slater, who, you know, many of us know and love, she gave some really insightful quotes from an anonymous player earlier in the week. They said that they described, pulling up the quote, said, "I only think it's fair if McCarthy gets one more shot, but more on his terms from the standpoint of being able to run it how he wants. Whoever else you go with, there's going to be an unknown, but he built something pretty good over the last 5 years with one hand behind his back, because it's not easy being a head coach here." Dak Prescott said something similar earlier in the year about wanting to do things on McCarthy's terms. Yeah. It seems like there's a common theme right now that, however it broke down and everything, Mike McCarthy didn't get to do things his way this first time around. And that being said, 5 years with the Cowboys so far, he's had two losing seasons, both of which saw Dak Prescott go down with a season-ending injury.
Yeah.
Everything else in between there, three straight 12-win seasons.
Yep.
They beat Tom Brady in his last game ever. Dak was the MVP runner-up in the 1 year that he's played a full season with McCarthy calling plays. I'm not saying they're going to win the Super Bowl next year if they bring McCarthy back, but you can see where there's optimism in going forward with McCarthy, especially when you look around the rest of the NFL and some of the teams that are out there hiring, where Black Monday, which is now extended into a couple of days now with the way some teams operate, it's claimed 6 head coaches so far. Obviously, 3 of these already, you know, they made moves earlier in the year, the Jets, the Bears, and the Saints all fired their head coaches earlier in the year and have, you know, finished out the year with interim head coaches. Since then, we saw the Patriots fire Gerard Mayo after just 1 year on the job.
Pretty quick. Yeah.
What's that?
Pretty quick. I mean, they did it. I think he just finished the game and like Kraft's already meeting him at the in the locker room. Like, all right, you're good. You know, it was quick.
And after a win too. He finished with a win and got fired.
And well, you know why? I mean, kind of jokingly, I guess. You're supposed to be tanking for Travis. Travis Hunter's not going to be a Patriot at this point, according to some mock drafts out there early on. So
yeah.
I'm sure Patriots Nation's not pleased that they're not number one anymore. So But I'm not saying that's the reason, but, you know, jokingly, tongue in cheek.
Yeah.
You know,
the decision was definitely made beforehand with how quickly they announced it. Jaguars took their time and made a decision Monday morning that Doug Peterson was going to be fired. They made the controversial and surprising decision to retain general manager Trent Baalke. And then on Tuesday, after taking a little bit more time to think about it, the Raiders decided they were going to move on from Antonio Pierce as their head coach after one full season as the full-time head coach and about half of a season as the interim head coach the year before, taking over for Josh McDaniels, which, you know, everybody knows I'm number one man in his corner. I'm heartbroken to see it. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy. Antonio Pierce. I after what he did to Arizona State, I have no sympathies for him. I've been, as many Arizona State fans have been doing, rooting for his downfall, and didn't have to root very hard. He made it very easy on himself with some really bad coaching decisions when it came to picking offensive coordinator, from the way that he, you know, helped build out that roster, some of the coaching decisions in game. Raiders were pretty unwatchable most of the year. Once again, it goes to show you don't hire interim coaches. The interim coach they're always going to be better than the guy they're replacing, because if they're bad enough to fire a midseason, they probably suck. And so the interim always gets a jolt of energy just from not being the guy that everyone wanted to see him go. You can't fall for it. And, you know, the Cowboys learned that lesson in a very prolonged process with Jason Garrett. And the Raiders, you know, only took a year to learn their lesson. But to me, the one that I really want to talk about of these coach firings, though, one that, pardon the pun, fires me up, is the Patriots moving on from Mayo. Because I think this was a horrible decision. I think there was, you know, it's poorly, you know, poor process all around for the Patriots. For those who don't follow the New England Patriots, which I assume is everybody listening to this Dallas Cowboys podcast. A few years ago, the Patriots, when they renewed Gerard Mayo's contract as one of the defensive assistant coaches under Bill Belichick, they put in a clause that named him their head coach in waiting. Robert Kraft, the owner, and you know others within the organization identified Mayo as he's going to be a star head coach, which he had received, you know, several head coaching interviews from other teams in the past. He was actually reported as one of the finalists for the Texans job when it went to D'Amico Ryans, for the Broncos job when it went to Sean Payton. So other teams were taking note of Gerard Mayo and his rising star. It made sense that the Patriots tabbed him as their head coach in waiting. And because of that, when Bill Belichick did officially, you know, depart New England, whoever's terms it was on, that meant that the Patriots did not even have to go through the typical hiring process where, you know, the Rooney Rule, you have to interview at least two minority candidates in person from outside the organization before you can hire anybody. Patriots didn't have to do that because he was designated their head coach in waiting. They were allowed to just pull the trigger, make him their head coach, and that's exactly what they did. They didn't talk to a single candidate out there, right? They didn't talk to Mike Vrabel, who had just been fired in Tennessee and played for the Patriots. They didn't talk to Brian Flores, who had just had a phenomenal year as the Vikings defensive coordinator and had coached for the Patriots before. They didn't talk to Ben Johnson, the Lions offensive coordinator, who's the hottest name on the coaching cycle last year, this year. They didn't talk to anybody. They said, Gerard Mayo's our guy. He's our head coach. We support him. And then a year later, they say, nope, we don't believe in you at all. In fact, we don't believe in you so much that even though you finished with the exact same record as Bill Belichick did last year, with probably a worse roster, we're going to fire you. I mean, nobody thought the Patriots were going to be good this year. The fact that they won four games, honestly, is a miracle. And I get it. Mayo didn't, you know, he looked like a guy who's, you know, in over his head a little. He was probably, you know, still not ready to be a head coach. Few people are, unless you have the experience. But, I mean, you know, you bring him in. He's a first-time head coach. He's got a first-time offensive play caller in Alex Van Pelt. You bring in a rookie quarterback in Drake May.
Yeah.
I mean, this season was not about winning. This season was about taking that first step, building a foundation. A lot of players spoke positively about Mayo. And by the way, to do this in the same year that, as you mentioned, the number one team in the NFL right now is coached by Dan Campbell. The Lions have been phenomenal this year. And you think back, Dan Campbell's first year as the Lions head coach, they were 3-13-1. The next year, they started out like 1-6. And, you know, people were like clamoring, like, when's Dan Campbell getting fired? Like, the Lions still look terrible. And the owner came out and did a press conference and said, like, I hired Dan Campbell because I see in him, you know, traits that are going to make him a good coach. We believe in him. We're sticking by him.
Yep.
And here they are, you know, two straight NFC North titles. Last year they were in the NFC Conference Championship game, barely lost to the 49ers. This year they're the number one seed, got the first round bye. I mean, if the Lions did what the Patriots just did, they don't have Dan Campbell. They don't have this team that looks like a juggernaut. Like, you got to be patient with your coach. Yeah. Obviously, there's a point where you're too patient, but Gerard Mayo could very well be the next Dan Campbell. We'll never know because the Patriots fired him after 1 year, gave him zero support, zero belief in him. So I was shocked, even though there was rumors that like they're kind of leaning, might be leaning that way going into the last couple of weeks. I thought there's no way they're going to do that. They doubled down. They've identified him as a leader for so long. There's no way that they would pull the rug out from him that quick. I was wrong. They were that dumb to do that.
Yeah, it was, to me, it was absolutely awful. I thought that was a boneheaded move. I think Gerard Mayo, you know, I think he has a future as a head coach. Again, I really believe that. I think for him, I don't even want to say this in a negative light, but in a way, it's almost like he's got to, you know, in a way he's going to rebuild his brand a little bit. I think he's going to land on his feet. He's going to become a highly coveted defensive coordinator, just kind of like you mentioned, Brian Flores. Because I think Flo is going to be a head coach again very soon. You and I agree on that. And I think maybe a year or two down the line, Mayo is, has, you know, he's brought his his tactician as a defensive mind. I think he's a defensive genius because he was a very good defensive player for the Patriots back in those Super Bowl runs. So he obviously has the mind for the game. And for me, I mean, any team, any organization that brings him in as a defensive coordinator, I mean, hey, now that I just thought about that, I mean, if Zimmer's not here next year, I mean, Mayo could be a really good defensive coordinator. I'm jokingly saying that because I don't see that happening. I think Zim's back, but Mayo's going to go somewhere, and whoever gets him is getting a hell of a coach. And I think whoever gets him, that defense is going to take a step forward. He might be there a year, maybe two, and then we're going to be talking about him as another as a head coaching candidate and somebody who will have a job. And I think I wouldn't be surprised that in the next 2 to 3 years, you're going to see Mayo back as a head coach somewhere. And I also think Brian Flores will be a head coach somewhere. I say in the next 2-3 years. I think Flo's probably going to get something sooner, maybe a year ahead of Mayo. But I think
Flo gets one this year. I think he's getting a head coaching job.
I think so too. Yeah, I think I would be surprised if he doesn't get something this year. If by some crazy thing he doesn't get one this year, he's definitely getting one next year. And I would say this for Mayo. I say by he does maybe maybe 2 years as a defensive coordinator somewhere. And then that going into that third offseason that we're, kind of where we're in now. So maybe like 3 years, three seasons removed from this. I think he's a head coach. I think he's too talented. And whoever gets him, they're going to be in a good spot. D'Amico Ryans. I mean, he's been the Texans are the way they, I know how you feel about the Texans. I'm a believer in the Texans. I really like D'Amico as a coach.
It's not that I'm not a believer in the Texans. I think 2 years ago now, so 2023, they overperformed expectations.
They definitely
did. I just think this season was them, coming back down to earth a little bit. They won 10 games. They won the division. Granted, the other three teams in their division had losing records. And
yeah.
The Jaguars, fired Doug Peterson. And the Titans on Tuesday, they fired their GM. They fired most of their front office. Two of these teams are terrible. But then there's the Colts that are just like perpetually stuck in the middle of not being good enough to make the playoffs and not being good enough to hit the reset button.
Yeah.
I was calling my shot early that, CJ Stroud was going to regress a little bit in his sophomore season. And he did. The team was going to struggle a little bit, and they have. Yep. And, we'll see what they're able to do in the playoffs. But I mean, I think D'Amico Ryans,
they could surprise you.
I think D'Amico Ryans is a great coach though. And I think, there's a lot of similarity in terms of profile, how he's come up to Jerod Mayo. I agree. I think Mayo this is not going to be the last time he's a head coach. I sure hope not. Cause I think he got a raw deal here. Right now there's 6 openings. Like I said, they're all interviewing people. Ben Johnson is the hottest name. He's been requested to interview for the Bears. We know he's going to interview with the Bears, this week. He's been requested by the Jaguars. It has yet to be said if he's actually going to accept the request. Interestingly, the Jets did not request him out of what's been reported as a belief that he would not have accepted that interview request, which puts the Jets in kind of an awkward position. But they already interviewed Mike Vrabel. They interviewed, interestingly, Ron Rivera. They are going to interview Rex Ryan, their former head coach.
That would be a Jets thing to do,
I think it would be a good move. I mean, they've been terrible ever since he left. He always had them competitive. I think his final year with the Jets, they were 8-8, and they moved on from him simply because they were like, it's been long enough, we got to move on from you. But they've been horrible ever since. I think it makes a lot of sense, especially if Mike Vrabel goes to the Patriots, which, for the record, the scuttlebutt here in this recording this Tuesday night, the Patriots on Tuesday conducted interviews with both Byron Leftwich and Pep Hamilton, two outside hires that satisfies the Rooney Rule requirement. People were pointing out they have a interview set up with Mike Vrabel for Thursday. They can make a decision at any point at this rate. from a you know, rule compliance standpoint. And there's a lot of scuttlebutt pointing to it's Vrabel's job as long as he says yes in that meeting on Thursday. So we'll see how things go there with the Patriots and if they have yet another really, really, really fast hiring decision.
They're going to. He's going to be the coach. I'm just calling a shot now.
It would be a surprise at this rate if he wasn't.
Yeah.
Which then puts the Jets in a situation where, you know, top two candidates, you know, from a media talking point standpoint are Ben Johnson and Mike Vrabel. You're not interviewing Ben Johnson, Mike Vrabel, if he's going within the division. Who do you turn to if not Rex Ryan?
Rex seems like the most logical pick, honestly.
They've requested to interview a lot. The list, Adam Schefter tweeted out the list, and it is a lengthy list. So they're, you know, looking at a lot of different names. But I kind of want to see Rex Ryan back on the sideline. I really want to see Rex Ryan back, and just for the entertainment.
You think he does it though? You really think he does it? Because he's got a cushy job at ESPN.
He wants it. He wants it real bad. He was talking on some one of the shows that he's on, and he said
NFL Countdown.
Huh?
Was it Sunday NFL Countdown? Because he does that. No,
I don't know which show it was, but he was on some show and he was talking. He said, yeah, I think I've got a real good shot at it because I'm the best candidate out there. Nobody out there knows the Jets like me. Nobody's a better coach than I am, which is classic Rex Ryan. I love the confidence.
Yeah, of course.
He also said, this was my favorite part, was he said, I don't know if Aaron Rodgers is coming back next year, but if he does, it's not going to be a country club anymore if I'm there.
Here's the thing, though. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is back next year with the Jets anyways. I think that's kind of... I think that ship has sailed. But I mean, I want to circle back to Ben Johnson. It's funny because it's, you know, division rivals, you know, Bears Lions, obviously, because obviously Ben's the guru for the as offense coordinator for Lions. It would be interesting for him to go to the Bears, and it makes so much sense because why wouldn't he want to be the why wouldn't he want to take the keys with Caleb Williams? I think that's I think the Bears. The thing that worries me about the Bears, though, is they've honestly been dysfunctional. I think they're just a dysfunctional organization.
Yeah, they're still the Bears.
Yeah, 100%.
Caleb Williams is exciting, but it's still the Bears.
Yeah, I think to a degree, I believe that the prospect for Ben Johnson, which obviously we're not in his headspace, we're not in his inner circle, but the prospect of him coaching Caleb Williams, I think that has to be really interesting for him. And I think, you know, I feel like he's going to want to have more say than what the Bears might want to give him. And I think if they really want Ben Johnson, they're going to have to give him more of the keys to the kingdom, so to speak, because he's not going to take it if he's just the head coach. I think he has to have some sort of personnel input, maybe not the entire, you know, final say, but I think if I had to pick a spot for him to land, I think the Bears are definitely like the number one. I don't see him going to the Jags. I think the Jags are just dysfunctional. Trent Baalke's still there. I mean, who wants to go be a head coach for a lame duck GM in my book?
Yeah. So the reports were before the Jaguars fired Doug Peterson, there was a lot of buzz that Ben Johnson was very interested in the Jaguars, which is fair. Trevor Lawrence, you know, he hasn't quite performed up to the expectations, but he has looked good when he's been healthy.
Yes.
They just got a rookie receiver in Brian Thomas Jr. who had a really great rookie year.
Yeah.
And I mean, you've got some pieces to work with there. And then when they fired Doug Peterson and said, we're keeping Trent Baalke, who was the GM when the 49ers, you know, fired Jim Harbaugh, you screwed that whole thing up. He was the GM when Urban Meyer was hired. He stuck around through Urban Meyer. He stuck around through Doug Peterson. When it was announced that he was staying with Jacksonville, one of the first reports afterwards was Ben Johnson probably is not interested anymore. And that's why we're all kind of waiting with bated breath to see if he accepts that interview request, because that would be very telling if he doesn't. But it'll be interesting to see either way. I agree with you, though. I think I kind of, as a football fan, I want to see Ben Johnson working with Caleb Williams because it would be fun. Also, I think back to when Dan Campbell took the Lions job, you know, the Lions were not exactly the picture of, you know, harmony, organizational harmony.
No,
And he, I remember in his press conference before he got to, you know, biting off kneecaps, he said, I wanted this job. Like, I really, really wanted this job, which, you know, probably was the only guy who like genuinely passionately wanted to coach the Lions at that point. And he said, you know, I played for the Saints when we won the Super Bowl. Like, I saw, you know, this team, because the Saints for a very long time were garbage. Their nickname was the Aints. Like, they were,
yeah,
you know, the seller of the NFL for a long time.
Yeah, they sucked. Yeah.
And he said, I saw what happened when this city and this community and this fan base, like when they finally got a good football team, what it did for them. And I want to do that for Detroit. And he came in with a plan. Brad Holmes came in with a plan. And obviously Ben Johnson was right there for all of it. He was actually part of the previous staff as well and was a holdover for Dan Campbell. So he saw all of the bad stuff and then he saw all the good things that Dan Campbell did. And I wonder if he's coming into this saying, I can do that for Chicago. I can have that same impact for Chicago. Even though they are the Bears and they, you know, don't exactly have a great history of picking winners. Caleb Williams has a lot of really good talent. There's a lot of good young pieces. They have a lot of cap space right now.
Romo Dunze is good. He's good. I like
DJ him. Moore is locked up financially as well. He's a really good player.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see all that happen. It'll also be interesting to follow the Lions as they go through the playoffs, which we'll talk just a little bit about as we get ready for the playoffs. Obviously, the Lions won't play this week. They have a bye. Which is why Ben Johnson and defensive coordinator Aaron Glenn are both able to interview with these teams this week during their bye week. But going into our playoff slate, we've got the Packers playing the Eagles, which I always feel conflicted when those two teams play because, you know, Cowboys fan of me wants to see the Eagles lose, but also the Cowboys fan of me hates to see the Packers enjoy anything positive. We've also got the Vikings and the Rams, which is going to be fascinating because head coach Kevin O'Connell, you know, came to the Vikings from the Rams. He was one of Sean McVay's many understudies who's gone on to a lot of success. We've got the Commanders, Dan Quinn going to the playoffs against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Baker Mayfield. And then, you know, on the AFC side, we've got the Broncos taking on the Bills. Kind of have a feeling how that one's going to go. We've got the Chargers and Texans. And then we've also got the Steelers and Ravens, one of the most exciting, one of the few true rivalries in the NFL still today. And we're getting that in the first round of the playoffs. Cool. What are you really looking forward to from this slate of playoff games?
I mean, I'm gonna pick one game from each conference. And you just mentioned Steelers-Ravens. That's always a fun game. It gets nasty out there with those two teams. And, I mean, why the heck not? Why don't we run it back for a third time and you know, do some things here in the playoffs? And obviously the Cowboys fan and me will never, ever root for the Steelers. So, you know, I'm rooting for the Ravens. I'm going to hang with the flock and, you know, Ravens, I want the Ravens to take care of business. And then another team that I despise as well on the NFC side, the Washington Commanders, you know, I can't stand them. You know, we're great on Dan Quinn. Good for him. But, you know, that's another game I'm looking forward to, Commanders and Bucs. That's going to be a lot of fun for me because, you know, Baker Mayfield versus Dan Quinn, you mentioned it. That's going to be very interesting. And I think the Buccaneers, when they're playing their, I wouldn't say, as long as they're playing like their A-minus game, they don't have to be perfect, but if they're playing like A-minus game, I really think they could beat anybody because they have the weapons. If Baker Mayfield and Mike Evans are on a roll, I really, and with those running backs, Bucky Irving and Rashad White, Arizona State alum, you know, yes, I mean, sir. And McMillan, hey, I threw it in, you know, McMillan, he's flashed. My guy, Payne Durham, my guy from last year, one of my rookie.
He's been pretty good.
I saw some of him, you know, I mentioned that many times last year. So, you know, I'm not surprised. I know a lot of people are, but I was very happy to see him playing well. But yeah, I mean, in the defense, they still got some studs on defense as well. And I know I don't know what their health situation is. I haven't dug into it too much, but I know they got some guys that are important pieces to that defense. I don't know if they're going to play. I don't know what the availability is at this point, but I'm looking forward to that game. I think the Bills Broncos, I think the Bills are just going to scrape them. I think that's just, I mean, I mean, it's obvious. Chargers Texans, that'll be a fun one. And then, you know, you got Vikings Rams. I think that, I mean, all these games are really good. I mean, it's the playoffs, obviously. So, I mean, you're going to have some good matchups.
You would hope.
You would hope. Yeah, you would hope. And you know, we've had 7 of 9 teams in the playoffs back in the day. So, I mean, those things do happen. And obviously, I can't forget about the Packers-Eagles. Go, Pat, go. You know, I have to. It's against all of my being to ever root for anything Philadelphia. I mean, the greatest thing they have is a fictional character, Rocky. So, I mean, go, Pat, go on that one as well.
Yeah. I will enjoy watching the Eagles lose if that's what happens, but I will not take joy in the Packers winning. So it's like, I'm going to feel icky no matter what happens in that one. I'm really excited though, like you said, for that Commanders Buccaneers game. I think, just from a coaching standpoint, these are two defensive head coaches who both have been head coaches before, both kind of got a raw deal. And Todd Bowles, real quick, talking about Todd Bowles before we wrap up, this guy gets so much hate and so many people talk about, like, Todd Bowles isn't a good coach. How is Todd Bowles still a head coach? I mean, 3 years as the Buccaneers head coach, all 3 years he's won his division, all 3 years he's gone to the playoffs. He's had one more win each year than the previous year before, and he's done that with a different offensive coordinator every single year. And he lost Tom Brady after his first year, goes to Baker Mayfield, who wasn't exactly a hot commodity at that point, turns his career around. And, I mean, Todd Bowles has done a lot better since he lost Tom Brady than Bill Belichick ever did. I don't see anybody talking about that. Valid. But I think Todd Bowles is – I wouldn't say he's like a top 10 head coach, but I think he's knocking on the door. He's been a really good coach. I think he got a raw deal with the Jets when he was their head coach. He's done some good things, and Dan Quinn in his first year since being a head coach again has done some good things as well. And that'll be a pretty interesting quarterback competition between Jaden Daniels, between Baker Mayfield. Yeah. So I'm excited for that. Hey, I also think
playoff Baker, Chargers, man. I'm excited for playoff Baker.
Honestly. Playoff Baker is a different thing.
Yeah, he's a dog, man. I love watching him play. He's in it. Like, even that Cowboys Buccaneers game recently, you know, he's in there diving in there and fumbles and stuff.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I love Baker Mayfield. That dude is the ultimate gamer.
I think we're gonna see this will be my hot take maybe. I think the Chargers are gonna just wallop the Texans. I think Justin Herbert finally gets some playoff success. Jim Harbaugh is just different, and he has those Chargers playing different. They're not chargering anymore. So maybe me saying that means they're about to, but we'll see. We'll be talking about that next week. And
I got a hot take for you. Real quick before we wrap up, my hot take. I gotta throw it out there before the playoffs start. I think the Buccaneers go on a roll, and I think Baker's gonna get them to the NFC Championship game.
All right. I like it. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I like it.
Playoff Baker. I don't think they get to the Super Bowl because I think they're like the third best team, you know, in this. Because I still think the Vikings are great. The Lions are great.
Then, who on the spot, two teams that make it to the Super Bowl. Who's your two teams? Don't have to pick the winner, just who's making it to the Super Bowl?
Lions, Bills.
Ooh, I'm going Lions, Chiefs. I don't see a team that can beat this Lions team, and the Chiefs are the Chiefs. I mean, they're about to turn it on.
Josh Allen, man. I think, I'm a New Yorker. I'm not that far down the road from Buffalo. You know, I would love to see it for, you know, not only my family, but I got a lot of friends in Bills Mafia, you know. And as a Cowboys fan, you know, we kicked the crap out of them in 2 Super Bowls. So, you know, this is my way of giving back to them in this sense.
Yeah.
So Bills, Lions, that's like the people's like Super Bowl matchup because it's 2 unlikely Super Bowl like contenders.
Yeah, that would be fun. But I don't think anybody's knocking the Chiefs out. So,
well, hey, we'll see. That's why they play the game, you know.
But I think we both think the Lions are going to the Super Bowl, though. So,
yeah. They're
still and with Dan Campbell and with Aaron Glenn, both former Cowboys players, both from Texas, both went to Texas A&M. That counts as an honorary Cowboys Super Bowl appearance. So we'll like take it.
We're going to take
it. We'll be breaking that down next week, all throughout the playoffs here at the Writer's Block. Also covering all things Cowboys. Next time we talk, Mike McCarthy's contract will either be up or he'll have a new contract. We will see. But until next week, for Brandon Clemens, I'm David Howman, signing off for the Writer's Block. How about them Cowboys?